Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot route!
I don't. What is hot route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide-open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch! Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball!
I want the ball! I want the ball!
I want the ball!
I hope he doesn't kill somebody.
Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money, y'all need for me. Bottle key, popping that water, man, jacket. Yeah, it's a party, it's a party, it's a party.
Welcome into 11 Personnel. Nick Roush and Adam Luckett here to talk to you about Kentucky's win over Missouri, a 35-28 victory where, Luckett, it was a little bit closer than we anticipated. There were a few more nerve-wracking moments than we expected, but hey, good teams win, great teams covered, and that's true. The Cats are a great football team.
Yeah, you run for over 300 yards against an SEC opponent. You hit big plays in the passing game. You know, you get six plays of 30-plus yards, you'll hold the other team to zero. It's going to be hard for you to lose games like that. Now, there were some swings in the game that Missouri needed some bounces to even have a shot in that game, and they got them. So you have to give them some credit for that. You would like to see Kentucky finish, but that's also kind of been an issue under Mark Stoops. Like, Stoops has done a lot of good things, but there are some, like, he hasn't really gotten the big wins at home, we've talked about. And when they have a chance to blow teams out, they can kind of struggle to put them away.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen twice against Missouri, 2016 and 2017, they had big leads on them and couldn't really land the knockout punch and let them kind of come back in both of those games in the second half. So this is something that's happened against Missouri before. So some stuff they need to work on. But at the end of the day, we saw what we needed to see, I think, in that game. You look at the box score says that should have been, a 13-14 point win at least.
Yeah. But the great equalizer in all of this is turnovers. And two games into the Liam Cohen era, he's checked every box you could imaginable except the turnover. And that column, they've had five turnovers, three fumbles, two of the picks were just tip pass interceptions. And
they've been a little – they're having greats. Like, they're not allowing a ton of negative plays, but the ones they are allowing are kind of just going to turnovers, which is over a large sample size. That's not going to stick. They've had
– water will find its level.
The two tip balls, like, that's just unlucky, where Kentucky tipped a few balls and didn't intercept any in that game against Missouri. And so, I think that's a little bit unfortunate.
Well, and then the one interception, I mean, Bazelak threw as bad of a football as you can on fade. And Dort, I mean, that was just an inexplicable mistake. Like, there's no excuse for doing that, you know.
But even then, like, that's probably not an automatic PI call most of the time. If that ball isn't intercepted, I'm not sure he throws a PI flag.
Because it was such a bad pass, it probably wouldn't even catch him. I'm surprised
technically it was pass interference. Like, he just got to hold out a second longer because they were kind of hand fighting there, but then he just, you know, he stabs him in the chest with his palm. And then you had the tip ball by Pascal where they run his own blitz. He drops in coverage.
I mean, it's right in the bread basket.
Really a good call, I think. I think they caught Bazelak by surprise there a little bit. And then the ball's just under there, and Geiger's running under it.
Brutal.
He alligator arms it, trying to catch it.
Let's talk about the defense for a little bit. I know, you know, we we don't need to beat the dead horse over the Rodriguez fumble changing things. But I think defensively, there's certainly this notion out there when you watch Kentucky give up underneath routes that Stoops is playing conservative. And Luckett, I have not had the opportunity yet to go back and watch, you know, every snap yet. But especially at the time and from our vantage point up in the press box, it looks like Kentucky was blitzing more often than not. They just they weren't getting home.
But they weren't bringing numbers. They were bringing four, but it was coming from different places. So they had linebackers were coming all the time. Devontae Robinson was coming from the field blitzing. But they were a lot of it was it was just four-man pressures. It was just not your typical four D-line rushing. But we have to remember here how, like, Kentucky's built. At Kentucky Media Day, Brad White talked about how, you know, you may not love it, but this is a foolproof way to play defenses. You're going to give up yards. Don't give up big plays. If you don't give up big plays, you're going to win games. But I think Missouri and Eli Drinkwitz had a good counter to some of that defensive philosophy, because Kentucky really especially leans into that when they start getting leads.
Yeah.
Because they know they can run the ball. They know they want to shorten the game. But Missouri ran 76 plays in the game. Only 18 of those snaps were design runs. Like they came out and threw the ball.
Yeah.
Now Kentucky took away the big plays. They were ready for any of the deep shots, but you got to give, I think, Drinkwitz and Bazelak a lot of credit for just taking the checkdowns.
Had some nice developed, like, well designed screens.
I mean, they do good stuff with eye candy and you know, getting you going one way with misdirection, hitting you back the other way. Tyler Beatty's, you know, it's really nice when you can dump it to an NFL, you know, third down back.
Yeah, that guy, he's good at breaking tackles.
He made some guys miss. I know tackling's a big issue. Like, I went back and watched the tape. Beatty's going to make people miss all season. He's just a guy. So I'm not super concerned about that. What I think it kind of went against Kentucky, because Kentucky's front is built to stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last year, they got pounded with Missouri with outside zone with Roundtree. He ran the ball 37 times. So I think they were looking, like, they were thinking they were going to do that, when really Missouri only went to, I think they ran outside zone maybe 7-8 times in this game. And one of them, Kentucky was on that big cornerback blitz call where Kentucky blew it up, finally got a tackle for loss. That was outside zone. But Missouri, like, there's an outside zone-based attack, so you think you're going to see it a lot, and Kentucky really didn't see it much. And so I think that they really kind of caught them surprised. They needed more pass rush in that game. How Kentucky's built, their front is built to stop the run, not necessarily rush the passer on standard downs, on first and 10, second and six, whatever. I think that hurt them in that game, because that's where the pass rush issues came from. And then,
especially second down.
Right. And then you had some injuries and stuff. Some guys are playing. On one of Bazelak's scrambles there in the fourth quarter on their touchdown drive, they're in kind of a dime or a nickel look. Katie McDaniel's kind of playing off ball linebacker. He starts covering like he's in man, and they lose contain. The 2 minute drive, if you watch the SEC inside special last night, White was yelling at Pascal or going back and forth with him, like, we lost contain four times on that drive. So that's an issue. Like, the pass rush, that is an issue. Like, they got to get on the same page. I thought Missouri did a good job with delaying snaps, because many times Kentucky just couldn't get a good beat on it because they were showing their hand before they even snapped the ball. And I think what that comes from is, like, Missouri's got a really experienced center. And they were very patient on offense. So I think you got to give some Missouri some credit. But overall, I think that Kentucky's defensive philosophy will be fine. I think that's a foolproof way to play. But the pass rush, they do need some work there. And I think that was a huge takeaway. Other than that, I think they were fine. I think the linebackers were really good. I thought Square and Jones were both really good in that game.
Yeah, that was an incredible interception too by Jones. And
yeah, the cornerbacks, you know, they need to be better, but this is what we thought that position was going into the season. I'd like to see Quandre Mosley maybe play a little bit more. And you want a little bit more out of Corker, I think. Like, we heard Brad White talk about make the game-changing plays. You'd like to see a little bit more from him. Now, he did make a huge play on that little gadget play, getting back and getting the PBU. But overall, I think they're fine. But I think Missouri just did some good things. And really, the defense, you know, you would have liked to got that Geiger interception. Obviously, the two-minute drive cannot happen there at the end of half. But if the offense just scores right there and they go up 28-7 at half, I don't think – and then it's a totally different game because Missouri's going to have to be more aggressive in the second half. You're down three possessions when you're only going to get maybe six, seven possessions in that second half.
Yeah, and the natural just pass rush in general, you mentioned breaking contain. That was the frustrating part, is you'd have a guy who actually did make a good play and get some pressure, but there was nobody there to kind of fill the void. Mm-hmm. Like a guy would get real high north south, and there was nobody underneath him.
Lack of an interior rush, right?
Yeah, there's no way.
JJ Weaver did a good job getting some edge rush. Devontae Robinson actually got some outside pressures from the edge. That hurt. And a lot of that is, you know, you want something from nose, but like that boundary tackle position, you're talking a Bully Body Fitzgerald,
Oxendine. Yeah,
that's the spot where Calvin Taylor, he got all his sacks a lot of times was because the outside
Boogie was bringing the heat. Yeah,
you would have to, they would just step into him. I mean, he would win one on ones there a lot of times, but they would kind of just step into him and he would clean up the trash right there. They just don't have that right now. And that's something that they can hopefully get fixed. I thought Trayvon Ripka, he's kind of their nose man in pass rushing situations. I thought he did some good things. So,
yeah, and there's one guy watch that you're going to see too, because when Ripka comes in as that specialized rusher, I think you're going to start to see Trevin Wallace do that more often. He played the spiral in a couple different situations, and he had good instincts on when to go, particularly on that fourth down. Like, all right, he's not going to try to scramble this now. He's sliding in the pocket, just see ball, hit ball. So I like that, how they use him there. And I think they're going to use him more just to get some more athleticism out there, because that's how you get after guys.
Yeah. And I think, well, with Wallace, I think what you could see is maybe just letting him play that outside linebacker spot, that little Sam spot, instead of McDaniel getting out there, just get more athleticism on the field, especially against a pass heavy team. And that would allow Jared Casey to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would feel better with Jared Casey on the field, maybe more so than McDaniel. McDaniel was there in some big spots, and like
that one tackle was
missed that. I mean, it was a perfect call. He was on it. He just missed the tackle. That was my takeaway. Like, I don't think he's still young. He's just not ready for that moment. I still think as a player, he could grow into something. I thought maybe we should have seen more Jared Casey there with Wallace. But they're going to have to figure out kind of how they use that. When Snoop said earlier this week, like, we've got different ideas. My takeaway was they're just going to play Wallace maybe at that Sam outside linebacker.
I did a little digging, and I don't know how – like, I think it'll be just a situational type deal in that. Like, I don't think they're going to –
It's going to be on passing downs, right, passing situations.
You're going to drop into a zone. It's going to be very specialized where he's not going to have to – you know, switch positions officially and learn how everything's done in different assignments and alignments, but just, all right, we need you on this down.
Yeah.
Because that will definitely be the case. Probably not this week against Chattanooga. But you know, there's gonna be some times against South Carolina where they just need to get off the field. Times against Florida and LSU, and you need to have your best athletes out there.
We mentioned the 76% pass rate. They're not going to see that in the next 3 weeks. These next three teams that are playing are pretty run heavy.
Yeah, which we'll get to more about the problems there. We talk about the rest of the SEC teams. But one thing I did want to go at in depth offensively a little bit is just how, you know, obviously the biggest difference in the Coleman style is you get more explosive plays. I think nobody has more passes more than 30 yards than Will Levis right now in the Southeastern Conference.
He leads the SEC in explosive pass rate.
That's incredible. But what that means, though, is that drives are staying alive because you can now convert on third down. And Kentucky, they were 7 of 12 on Saturday, an average of 7.1 yards on those third downs, and they converted more than half of them. Kentucky's the best third down team in the SEC. And a couple of the biggest plays of the game. They were those third downs. He had a third and 10 to Isaiah Cummings, where it was the same play that had the tip pass pick.
He's done that twice now. I love that. Against ULM, Ali drops interception, go back to him next possession. I believe it was on a third down.
Mm-hmm.
Cummings drop interception next possession, go back to him on third down.
And that's Liam's style too. He said yesterday, he's like, I'm not going to punish my guys. But, you know, I make mistakes too. I don't get benched. So I'm here to put these guys in the situation to succeed, trying to build them up. And that's one way to do it. I thought the best pass of the day was the little fade from the slot.
Slot fade,
from
Wondell, yeah, third nine.
Robinson, third and 12. It was after that sack. And there's 6 minutes left in the game. And, you know, we talk about how the offensive aggressiveness changes if Drinkwitz has a three touchdown deficit in the second half. His style is definitely going to change too if he's getting the ball back with 5 minutes to play or 1 minute to play. And that ball to Wandale, it kept the drive alive. And that's just something that that's a draw or a screen in years past. Like, that's not even, you don't even go for that. And to have that confidence in your quarterback to just not only make that throw, but to have a receiver who can just beat a dude one-on-one. That play really showed me that this offense, not only is it putting more points on the scoreboard, but it really can change the way Kentucky wins football games and milks the clock. You don't have to just have that Benny Snell 4 yards, run it to milk the game away. You can do it with different ways, and you can convert in otherwise seemingly impossible situations from years previous.
Yeah, I mean, in big games and third downs, a lot of times you just got to play one-on-ones, and you got to go find the one-on-one you want and go win the matchup. And Wandale, I think, provides that for this offense, as well as just the explosive playability. And those slot fades, that stuff Kentucky ran last year, they just couldn't hit on it for whatever reason. Now they got a dude and a quarterback that can deliver the ball. So I think that just is a huge difference maker. Like, we can talk about scheme all we want, but that's just guys going and making plays. Like, you just have to have that to extend drive sometimes. There's not there's a lot of great play calls by Cohen, but a lot of times it's not a magic formula. It's just going and winning one-on-ones. And Wandale on the perimeter does that for this team. I mean, they can scheme him up shots. You talk about the jet sweep, just like the ball. He can be electric with the football in his hands, and he can play make. And that just makes a world of difference and really gives this offense another level, because they have the efficiency. I think they're going to have it all season from Rodriguez. They're going to be able to stay ahead of the chains and gobble up first downs. But you got to get explosives to really put up numbers and to really potentially put up big numbers in games. So far through eight quarters, they're getting those explosive plays. And that's really what you kind of get excited about when you look at this offense, because it's the combination of the efficiency you know you're going to get from the ground game with the explosiveness now you're getting from the passing game. And that really kind of excites you because that's something they can keep building on.
Yeah, and I know in years past there was definitely a Stoops is taking control of the offense. They're just running the ball now. I don't think you're always going to have people who have some sour grapes. But those gripes aren't allowed because Kentucky is explosive when they need to be and when they want to be. That drive, it was right after Missouri scored. The following drive, I mean, it was play action, big play down the field, Rig gets the big screen, gains about 20 yards. I mean, right after you thought that they had – didn't have that much in the tank and they were just leaning on the running game too much, they went to the passing game, moved the ball down the field and got a score. So that's why I don't think you're going to, while there were a few gripes after the game, like, are we not throwing the ball enough anymore? Only 18 attempts. Cohen said, I think they had 26 pass plays called, but like, a lot of times that Levis just ran it because it was there.
People took the bait this week. I mean, on national talking shows, on the SEC pregame show, they're talking about how they're going to throw the ball all over the yard. And even when you watch the Rams, that's not what they do. Like this offense, everything is based off establishing the run, making the pass plays look like running plays. And then when you call a pass play, hit the shot. We don't, Kentucky doesn't, you want to sit, and even Cohen said it, I don't want to throw the ball. I want to sit like 25 to 30 pass plays a game. I don't want to go out and throw it 50 times.
And the thing is, too, is it's even more effective because Kentucky runs the ball well. If you watch Sunday Night Football, the Rams, they were walking. They weren't running. They were walking. They couldn't run the ball at all. And yet it was still they did enough to be effective in the play action where Stafford's dropping bombs in there, you know, and like all of those Cooper Kupp comps we got last year, like or in the offseason to Wandale, like you see it.
No doubt.
You saw it from both of them, you know. Man, Kupp did have a couple of those plays where you just thought he was going to get tackled like three or four times and he just.
Yeah, I mean, the offense, like this is what the offense is. It's run first. Efficiency on the ground game, stay ahead of the chains, make people commit to stopping the run, and then hit them over the top with verticals in the passing game. That's the recipe. It's a pick-your-poison type defense. Either you keep your safeties back, and we're just going to hammer you over the head with this run game, and when you start creeping up, we're going over the top, and we're going to hit explosives on you. That's the recipe, and that's what Mark Stoops wanted, and that's what he went out and hired. Do not worry about – I saw people calling in like worried they're not passing the ball enough. They only passed 18 times. They need to pass more. No, the passing game is all about getting explosives, yards per attempt. Like Levis was 10 of 18 for 50-something percent completions. I do not care because he was at 10 yards per attempt. So he's hitting over the top. He's hitting explosives, and that's what it's all about. Kentucky needs to get explosives in the passing game, 30-plus yard plays. They got a bunch of them. And that's just going to open up everything. It's going to make running the ball easier. And so that's what it is. And so when they're able to do that, it's just they're going to be hard to stop if they can do that throughout the season.
They're going to be awfully hard to stop. It's exciting because that win, it was a much needed win to win that big one. Then you've got more big games on the horizon.
It was a table setter. You had to get that one. Now it sets the table for October. You got to go win at South Carolina, but it's a table setter. You beat Missouri, take care of business. You work out some of the kinks too in that win. And now it's a table setter. Now you can go and go take your shots here in October. Now you still got to – Kentucky still needs to continue to grow. There's a lot of areas for improvement. Obviously, ball security. Special teams is a little bit of now. And then obviously their defense, there's some stuff to work on, and offense, there's stuff to work on too. Levis has taken too many sacks. That number is a little too high in a limited number of dropbacks. But there are a lot of good things and stuff you can build off of. So that's really what it's about here moving forward. Just keep getting better.
Now that Kentucky has set the table, I like to set my table by getting a little action in on Prize Picks, which it's, if you haven't downloaded this app, it's on the App Store. And there isn't a better way to enjoy watching your favorite team than by getting in a little daily fantasy action with our friends at Prize Picks, simplest form of real money daily fantasy sports. Whether you're all in on fantasy sports or just casual fan, Prize Picks is the perfect game for you. You simply select 2 to 5 players and predict if they will go over or under their projection. It's that simple. The thing that I like to do you can play with fantasy points, but I like the over-unders on the actual, you know, how many yards they're going to get, that kind of deal. And I did well in 1 week, but it's kind of funny. Look at, they had a promo where all you had to do, Patrick Mahomes over 1 passing yards. And then you parlay that pick with a couple others and boom, you win. Well, I made the mistake of going rushing touchdowns instead of yards, because touchdowns can be kind of a crapshoot. That's kind of luck. So learn for me, don't go with touchdowns, go with yards, because that's a little bit more of an indicator on how well somebody's going to
play. When I saw that, the first thing I thought was, what if they just handed off first play and a guard pulls and steps on Mahomes' foot or something and knocks him out. How many parlays would have been busted?
So, Luckett, against Chattanooga, Will Levis has an over-under pass yards of 270.5. You taking the over or the under?
I would actually take the under in that.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Because Chattanooga, they're not going to – they're not going to play like Missouri. They're going to keep, I think, everything in front. I think it's going to be a big rushing day for Kentucky.
117.5 for Chris Rodriguez. So you take under Levis over
Rodriguez. Now, I don't think Rodriguez is going to get a lot of work. I think this is going to be kind of a big game if you're Smoke, if you're Michael Drennan,
Lavelle Wright. But
to get for those guys to get some work.
But he can get to that 117 and a dozen carries. No problem. And the thing that's cool about Prize Picks too, you can select for five times your winnings to get all of your picks right, or you can hit another option, which allows you to miss one and you still make 2.5 times your play. So download Prize Picks, use the code personnel. They will double it. They will match your deposit up to $100 when you use the code personnel. Download Prize Picks today. Get in on the action today with our good friends at Prize Picks. Man, I'm actually excited because I'm terrible at the NFL. College, I had a good feeling with my picks. NFL, not so good. It wasn't so good of a day in the SEC for a few teams last Saturday. Tennessee, gosh, they're just hilarious. Man.
Before we get into this, Nick, one more thing. Chris Rodriguez is on a 13-game pace of 2,158 yards. So he's on pace to break that record. Not only break the record, but shatter it. So that's something we need to just monitor game by game.
Okay, I will keep an eye on that. And while we're talking, I mean, we're not going to give you a big Chattanooga update. Do you know why they're called the Chattanooga Mocs?
Is it short for moccasins because they wore moccasins or something?
So I thought that might be, you know, like Davy Crockett, you got the Cumberland Gap. Like I thought it might be something to do with that. Water mocks would also be appropriate and be kind of cool to have a snake mascot. It's much lamer than that. Their mascot is Scrappy, and he is a northern mockingbird, the state bird of Tennessee. They're the Chattanooga Mockingbirds. What a lame-ass mascot. Be the Chattanooga Choo-Choos. I mean, you have so many different ways you can go with this, and you're the Mockingbirds. That is so lame, Chattanooga. So lame. Goodness gracious.
That is it's different, I guess.
Man, it's different.
Chattanooga's defensive coordinator, former South Carolina defensive coordinator, and Louisville interim head coach, Lorenzo Ward.
Remember when he got in a fight with, or Mickey Crum tried to fight him?
and Vince Tyree.
Oh, God.
Speaking of Vince Tyree, he's not having a very good week.
No, not at all. Not at all. They might riot at the game Friday night if they can't get their beers. Tickets are $17. I think I might go and do some investigative journalism in the beer lines up on the party deck. So. That line's gone down, by the way. I think it's down to 7.5. Oh, you bet your sweet buns as soon as I get over to Indiana,
I'm on the under for sure.
Yeah, 68 points. You think Louisville scoring points? Gosh, their
man, the bad. Offense is bad.
They're so bad. And Central Florida has the number one rushing defense. Yeah, like, come on. Whew. Woof, as they say. But hey, enough of the mocks, enough of Louisville. Let's kick it around to the SEC, shall we? Which team should we point and laugh at first? South Carolina?
Yeah, we can start with South Carolina. Here's the thing with South Carolina, like their defense is doing some good things, I think. But the offense is just,
whew,
it's in rough shape. Now, they're supposed to get Luke Doty, but he was full go last week, but they just rolled with Nolan in the game. But he should be – they go to Georgia on Saturday. I would assume he's going to start for them, but we'll see.
No Zebuli Nolan. Oh.
Yeah, but they're – they're rotating backs in and out. Like, Kevin Harris played last week, but just a little bit. Marshawn Lloyd, the former top 50 recruit, has just looked, yeah. Now they had a Juju McClendon, I think his name is. He's a true freshman, was like a mid 3-star recruit out of South Georgia. He was kind of like their guy in that game against East Carolina. Like, he's the one who made the plays the last two possessions to allow them to win that game.
Man, the Purple Pirates, too. They had a touchdown called back. That would have changed the game.
Missed the field goal.
Yeah. I mean, South Carolina had to have a lot of things go their way to win. And that
picks,
was
– yeah, picks East Carolina's driving in scoring territory, under 2 minutes left in the second quarter, up 13-0. You get a score there, the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
Tip ball, pick six for South Carolina. Totally changed that game.
I was disappointed that there weren't more people to show up cheer them on against South Carolina. That crowd, it was a barren stadium. Man, it just – seeing Shane Beamer celebrate, it looked so sad.
Like, Beamer is very – he's very emotional on that sideline. Like, anything they do well, he's just going nuts. So that's something to keep in mind.
Oh man, next week. The one thing I'm going to be watching closely is Anthony Richardson's hamstring.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the story of college football this week.
Surprisingly. And I think it's because there's not a whole lot to talk about other than I can't believe that Penn State is such a, like, I guess because Auburn's played well the first 2 weeks, Auburn ain't going to go up there and win. I don't think so either. Yeah, like they've got some crazy stats right now, but they played Akron and an FCS team. You know, like it just.
Yeah, Bo Nix was kind of ridiculous against Akron, but he reverted to old Bo Nix last week against Alabama State. So we're going to find out a lot about him. And then you would have to think Penn State will shut down that running game. Now, Auburn's defense could be for real. So that's something to watch. But yeah, it's kind of a measuring stick for Auburn. Like, Penn State looks like a legitimate, probably top 12 to 15 team, maybe top 12 or top 10. So we're going to find out where Auburn is going up there. It's going to be a crazy crowd.
Yeah, white out. That's always a big game.
But Emory Jones, Nick, like, these numbers are bad. Like,
hit me with some of them.
Passing success rate is like 40.82%. And to compare that, Terry Wilson was like at 40% last year. So that's kind of the inefficiency in the passing game. Nearly a quarter of his throws have ended in a pass breakup or interception. So every fourth throw is hit, the defender's getting his hands on.
Oh, man.
5.4 yards per attempt passing.
Man.
It's not great. Now, they're running the ball like crazy. Emory Jones is doing a good job running the ball. Anthony Richardson, really, like, he's gone out here and popped some runs on Florida Atlantic and USF. It really makes your eyes pop. And then he hit a couple of big pass plays against USF. But against Florida Atlantic, his passing wasn't great. He was 3 of 8. Two of his completions were really short. But he's terrifying as a runner in some of the runs we've seen from him so far. But he did tweak his hamstring there against USF. So that's something to monitor. But this feels like this is kind of the last game Emory Jones is going to start.
I know.
It has that feel to it.
It's, yeah.
Like, he'll start, they'll get behind, they'll play Richardson for most of the game. Richardson will get his first start against Tennessee next week.
Yeah.
And then we're going to find out over the next 8 quarters, as long as that hamstring is fine, what he is. Now, the good thing for all you, I've already had some of the people on Twitter get at me of the Kentucky is cursed by QB2s. Like, we're going to see the QB2 as a starter. Going to get a good sample size here over the next two games, I think. So Kentucky's going to be able to scheme for him. But that's really – he's kind of the story of college football right now. Is this like a Lamar Jackson kind of rise from nowhere, really, just becoming the superstar? Or is it just – this is way too much of a small sample size against a really bad defense in USF? We don't really know. And so, this Saturday is going to be Alabama-Florida is going to be fascinating to watch. I think Alabama's going to win. But from that aspect of it, what does he kind of look like? I think it's the thing in college football this week.
Yeah, that number, was it 15? That number just kind of stinks. It's daring folks to bet Alabama because you don't know if you're ever going to get Alabama at a smaller number. And I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. 14.5, 58.5 is what I'm looking at.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's a huge number, but at the same time, Alabama is far superior to Florida.
Yeah, and
so like they in theory they should be able to take care of business.
And it sounded like Florida fans think they're winning that game this weekend down there.
Yeah, and if you've got that confidence and they got that stadium, crazy stuff can happen. But the person that I not the person that, but like the I kind of like that Florida is like Kentucky should be able to stop their run in a few weeks, right? Like Florida plays into the strength of Kentucky's defense, which is we're just going to run the ball, even if we do some misdirection stuff. Like just keep Richardson between the tackles and make him get 3 and 4 yards.
The thing about this Florida run game is they're going to like I think they're just going to run for 225, 250 on just about everybody. It's all going to be about limiting explosives, and then when they go to the pass, winning more than you lose. So they're going to run the ball. I think we're going to learn a lot about Kentucky's run defense, not specifically this week, but next week at South Carolina, because that's going to be what South Carolina is going to try to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. And so, and then they're going to, if Doty, Luke Doty is in the game, there's going to be a QB run element to their attack too. So that's going to be
get a decent little primer. Right. Yeah.
We'll start to learn more about Kentucky's run defense then, because Eli Drinkwitz basically decided I'm not messing with it. So, that tells me he doesn't think they were going to be able to run on Kentucky.
Right, right.
And so moving forward, let's see how some other teams do. Yeah, because that's the big test in that game. Who can stop the run best? Because you think both teams would have an advantage running the ball. And for Kentucky, obviously you want to get – like this Florida team, you want to get them in 3rd and 8 to make them throw the ball. But they're going to be good enough, I think, to really establish the run on most teams. I mean, it's kind of an – it's going to be an old school – kind of Dan Mullen offense.
There's one other future opponent that whew, got a little turmoil happening down in Baton Rouge. Just won't go away. Now they have a former 5-star running back who is academically ineligible for the remainder of the season. Not great, Bob. Not great, Bob. I can already feel their wheels spinning down there.
Gene, I mean, there's just Gene Chizik vibes, man.
Yeah, it's not good.
Now, they play Central Michigan this week. We saw Central Michigan push Missouri. After that, they go to Mississippi State for a nooner, and then they host Auburn before coming to Lexington. I could see them winning maybe two ugly ones, but potentially maybe the unraveling starts here in Lexington.
You'd love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, that game's – like, Kentucky's got two big games, I think, before that, so I don't even want to look too far ahead there.
Right.
But you do have to love that matchup. They're struggling to run the ball right now. They're not really protecting Max Johnson all that well. And defensively, they really didn't scheme up the run game well at all against UCLA. So that could be a game where Kentucky could do some things, I think, in the run game because they do have two NFL corners on the outside, so – winning one-on-ones against them could be tough, but running the ball could be Kentucky's ticket in that matchup.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. I want to get to some games before we pick our money line special. Our Wolfpack are 2-point favorites at Kansas State. And, man, that line stinks. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. That is just
– Kansas State lost their quarterback last week.
Yep, Skylar Thompson. Is he done for the year?
They think he'll be back.
Okay. But I know that's the thought behind it is they're just like, all right, well, let's get some people who look at Nevada. They see a win over a Power 5 team. They see Carson Strong's number one on NFL draft. Big boards. We'll make them favorites after the big injury, but I don't trust it. I don't trust it at all.
K-State is 13-4 ATS. In their last 17 games as a home underdog.
Gosh, yeah.
Kansas State at home as a dog is an automatic play for me.
Automatic play, folks. You heard it here. So, automatic play. He is fading our Wolfpack. Shows what a fan you are.
So just keep that in mind. That's a tricky spot for Nevada. That's a game you want them to be. You'd rather be a small dog.
Yeah.
Or small,
yeah, three and a
small
half.
Small dog, then small favorite. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, don't like that. So Vodka, do you have a money line pick for this week that you're ready to go all in on?
I do.
And I'm wondering if it's the same one as mine.
Keeping it in the family.
Oh, man. I think I know which one it's going to be.
Purdue, +7.5, +250 on the money line. Purdue, 7-1 against the spread as a road dog under Jeff Brohm. Notre Dame's in all kinds of rough shape right now. Yeah. This either feels like Purdue wins or they get their doors blown off.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the two. And, man, I'm already nervous for the game, and I couldn't make it my pick just because I was too.
He feels due for just a big win, though.
That's true. And I just the only thing I do question is, was Notre Dame scared of the Toledo game? You know, will they have their stuff in check?
Yeah, but their quarterback got banged up. Purdue's defense has done some good things, I think, so far. Yeah. They're not going to take as many chances as Toledo.
Thank God they got Bob Diaco out of there.
And they can score. And Notre Dame's got some big play defensive issues going on right now. I think it's a good spot for Purdue. I know they just lost their running back. That's a position they really haven't been able to figure out up there, which is kind of odd.
Yeah, yeah.
For 5 seasons. But I think, you know, I'm jumping on them this week. We'll see what they do. I did not think – I was looking at that one in Illinois. Illinois was my other one. They're – I believe a 7.5-point dog at home in Maryland. Maryland just feels like they shouldn't be laying more than a touchdown on the road.
Man, the dog I'm going with, I'm feeling frisky. They won me a bet earlier in a similar situation, playing against a Pac-12 powerhouse. We're going after dark to the Rose Bowl. Fresno State, 11-point dogs to UCLA. Right now they're pointing and laughing at their rivals because Clay Helton got fired for losing to Stanford. They're riding high for that big win against LSU. Two wins start the season, coming off a bye. I think they're going to be a little bit rusty, a little bit slow coming out of the gate, and this feels like the perfect time to bring UCLA back down to earth. Right when everybody says that the Pac-12 is either them or Oregon, that division is theirs, pull the rug right out from underneath their feet. The dogs are howling at the Rose Bowl.
Fresno State, +350. Now, Nick, we had good picks last week. Neither won,
yeah,
but it was just a play away.
They covered, so, you know, we're at least giving you some covers out there.
It was just a play away on each side.
We're fishing in the right waters, though. So if we do that again this week, because I'm going to at least bet both of our picks to cover, even if I don't do straight money line. Feel good about them. Feel good about, especially 11 points with UCLA. Like, what about 10 against that Fresno State offense?
I like that. The total 62.5. Excuse me. I like the over there. Both those teams can get up and down on offense.
There's one game that I'm looking forward to the outcome, but it's Big Noon Saturday, so it might, you know, it'll be taking a backseat. Is the game of the century game, Oklahoma Nebraska? That could get weird. That could get hairy for Scott Frost. I would love to see him just get mopped.
Now they have, you know, people kind of forgot about them, but they rolled over Fordham and they held Buffalo to 3 points and rolled over them. So maybe we'll see if they've kind of got their stuff together, but that's a big game for him to kind of, because if they go out there and get, you know, torched, it's going to light the flames again.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to be in the public eye, and people are going to be talking about them all next week. But if they can play well and kind of hang in there, it might buy him a little bit of time to kind of keep working quietly and see what they can build. So, big game there.
One game to keep an eye on, too, that I'm definitely betting. There's no doubt in my mind. Terry Wilson makes his return to College Station. He played poorly last time for UK. It was one of his worst games as a Wildcat. But he's been there before. He's back. The Lobos are 29.5-point dogs. But Texas A&M doesn't have a quarterback right now. That guy was horrendous against Colorado. I'm sure there's going to be a sort of like, I mean, they'll just hand the ball to Isaiah Spiller and get back to their winning ways. But that's a ton of points. Terry Wilson's been there before. You got it.
Couldn't play much worse than he played last time.
Right. So in A&M, man, I thought they were about to blow it. I mean, that was about as bad as it gets, man. Yeah, the turnovers, I mean, they were just, whew.
It's unfortunate Kentucky plays at noon this week, because there's a lot of games at noon window I really want to see.
And the rest of them kind of stink.
Cincinnati, Indiana is a cool little matchup. You've got Terry going to A&M. You got Michigan State at Miami. It's kind of a big game for both those teams. Virginia Tech, West Virginia. Like, that's a line. Like, West Virginia's laying three. And you saw Virginia Tech beat North Carolina. That seems like they're just begging you to take Virginia Tech. I'm going to be on West Virginia. I think West Virginia gets a big win at home.
Man, this really is a packed noon slate.
Yeah, the noon slate's awesome. But other than that, it thins out quick. At night, you got Auburn, Penn State, which will be a good game. But other than that, it's just kind of blah.
Georgia Tech, Clemson.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, Alabama, Florida,
South Carolina at Georgia.
God,
31-0 is what that smells like.
Here could be a fun game. This one, the total right now is at 64, and it feels low. Mississippi State at Memphis. So yeah,
mid-afternoon.
The Memphis, and granted, they're bigger rivals with Ole Miss, because it feels like just the demographics there.
Yes.
That's a big clash. And not only it's just they don't like anything about one another. But you still get some of that similarity with Mississippi State. You're playing the big SEC school from right down the road. Could be a lot of points there. How about Mississippi State come back putting hurting on NC State? That the ACC just stinks. It's so bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
I mean, is
feel good about my Pitt over 7 though.
Pitt,
that big win.
Pitt's the second best team, right? After Jerkovich got hurt?
Yeah, I mean, it's looking like Pitt's going to be. If you look at their schedule, they have to go to Georgia Tech. But other than that, they have a couple G5 games coming up. And then they go to Virginia Tech. They could fairly easily be 6-0 when Clemson heads to Hinesfield there, the big mustard bottle. Gosh, in October. And I think that game's on a Friday night. It might be on a Friday night, too. So that'll be one everybody will watch.
Has Pitt ever filled Hinesfield?
Well, I think when Notre Dame came that one year, I think they filled it.
Oh, with Notre Dame fans?
Yeah.
Like, God. It's so
they
sad.
They played Penn State a few years ago. It filled up. But, I mean, you know, Penn State probably had 35,000 fans there. That's the game I'm thinking. They played Penn State when they were both good, when they both had good offenses, like when they had the Peterman, and then James Conner was a running back, and then Penn State had – that's when they had Moorhead, McSorley, Saquon.
Mm-hmm. One game that something for y'all to put a pin in. Saturday night, Tulane goes to Ole Miss, and the Green Wave are wearing SEC champ stickers on their helmets with like 33, 38, and 43, whatever the years were that they won it. Love that move. Love that move by Tulane.
Love it.
Absolutely love it. It's going to be a great uniform game, too.
If you like pain, you could just turn over Stanford at Vanderbilt on ESPNU.
Oh, God. You want to talk about hating yourself.
Like, that'll be on the tube here at the Luck House.
Oh, sure. My God.
That's getting screen time.
12-point dogs, Vandy is. Goodness gracious. A quick note on the NFL. I'm not going to give out any picks, NFL. I got to stay away from it because I'm just going to be sticking with prize picks and playing some fun props, because that's much more entertaining than me trying to hit the board and try to figure out these NFL teams.
NFL early, you got to find the dogs that you like. Yeah. So I like Bengals won big for me last week. Raiders last night. I like the Bengals again this week as a dog. I love the Panthers +3 at home against the Saints. Everybody's going to be on the Saints after beating the Packers. That was just a weird game.
Yeah.
I love the Panthers at home +3.
As much as the Washington football team let me down and their favorites, I feel like fading the Giants is a good play this year.
Yeah, Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
That still going a hook, that's obviously the weird little, especially in NFL, when you start getting off the key numbers.
Yeah.
NFL,
Red
Vikings
Zone is,
+4, I like them too, because everybody's going to be on the Cardinals this week.
Red Zone's a lot of fun to watch. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it's
just
one of my favorite things to do all day is order pizza or get food to go, and then you just sit down on the couch and watch Red Zone from 1 to 7 or whatever.
Yeah, and shout out to my brother for being in town so he could give Duke somebody extra to play with, because he eventually gets bored with me. So, you know, you gotta have more than just the usual toys to keep the baby in the same room as you. So
no doubt.
But man, another great week, another great pod. Oh, we should mention before we go, because it happened while we're recording, Josh Ali has some traffic charges. And, you know, I know some people like might have taken issue with Stoops describing the off the field issues as hiccups, or, you know, got some headlines to fix, I think was one way he put it. That really is just a bad headline. Like, dude was driving without insurance and rear-ended somebody. So drive without insurance. Like,
well, now that people are on top of him a little bit, so they're looking for stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you just gotta, it's just, they need to clean it up. I mean, it is what it is kind of thing, but they need to clean it up.
Oh, we got Dennis Dodd giving Chris Rodriguez some Heisman hype.
Rushing Dennis for 200 Dodd. Yards. We'll do that.
Yeah, in the SEC. He's the leading rusher in the SEC by like 50 yards, too. It's not even really close right now. So, yeah, it'd also be really nice if the grand jury would proceed, because Kentucky could use Drew Phillips. Kentucky could use Vito Tisdale. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. Especially when
Devontae Robinson got hurt.
Yeah.
For their scheme, they don't really have a backup, because you don't really want Jalen Geiger, I think, playing kind of that role. Like, Vito would kind of be kind of the primary backup there if he was on the team. It kind of messes with what they want to do, because they don't really have a backup. Now, luckily, it sounded like Robinson's going to be fine.
Right.
Jordan
right.
Wright, it sounded like.
I could
like
see him holding out this week.
Missing this week, but it's what it sounds like, he probably should be back for South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But so luckily, I think they're going to be fine, but that's they kind of need him on the field.
Well, and Phillips, especially in his case, he was one of the guys where, at least according to the UK documents, didn't even go in the house. So, like, there's going to be some guys that just get their charges dropped right away. I don't think that'll be the case with Vito.
And judging from what we've seen from two games, Nick, like, and what we saw, it was, you know, just one open practice. But Jatom McClain was going to be a huge part of the passing offense.
Yeah.
And they're just not really doing that stuff with Smoke. At least they haven't so far. They've ran him on some wheel routes, and they tried to get him on a wheel two times against
Missouri, and it wasn't there.
And they were over it. So that's, you know, I think he was going to be used more as like a slot receiver kind of thing, and that's not really something we're seeing them do with Smoke, at least to this point. So getting him back, I think, could add another element potentially to the passing game that they just haven't had. But if they get back, they've missed a lot of time. You know,
that's true.
It's going to take them a couple weeks, a lot of them, just to kind of ease their way back into it. And then you get so far in the season, it might just be like, you know, you're just running with the twos right now, and then we'll kind of work you in.
Yeah. We'll see. Time will tell. It's been a good podcast.
And it's always good. I always love hearing when your quarterback is called a psycho. That's more good than bad, I feel like. I would rather have a psycho quarterback than a non-psycho quarterback. Obviously, you don't want to be too – but, like, think about all the great quarterbacks. Tom Brady, psycho.
Absolutely.
Absolute psycho. Peyton Manning, psycho. Absolute, you know, psycho. Will Levis is getting that comparison now. Liam Cohen just said he's just crazy. He's just nuts. and then you see your Kvase Smoke like that. They love that he did that. Like that charges up teammate, like your offensive line, that charges them up so much. And I think that's going to, you know, big transition here for Levis was kind of winning over the team in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dropping bombs is obviously going to do it.
But dropping your shoulder on plays,
that really is. Yeah, that's going to make those guys fight for you even harder. And I just think that's a really good sign as this team continues to grow together. And now it's just about keep adding on. And let's see what they can do here against Chattanooga before they get prepared for the first big road test of the season. In South Carolina, that game, it's probably not going to be a sellout, but that's going to be a crazy atmosphere. Because what happened to Georgia to them this week doesn't really matter. That they won those first two, that's going to have them excited a little bit and wanting to upset Kentucky next week. That's going to be a huge game for them.
They're going to think they can.
Be walking into a Hornets nest, right? Exactly.
I mean, there's one thing that South Carolina fans do not lack. It's confidence. They got plenty of it over
well,
there.
And what we're going to learn this year, like Missouri fans expected to beat Kentucky and they were upset they didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's the evidence there that Kentucky's a better program right now. South Carolina's the same way.
Yeah.
Tennessee fans are going to be the same way when that game comes around. They just cannot get it through like their football brains. Like they see the schedule and that they write W there every year. And so that's going to be a huge game for all those teams. And I think South Carolina is going to be the most unique challenge because of kind of the circumstances.
Definitely. There's no doubt about it. And you'll be down there.
I will.
And so hit me up with your,
hit me up with your, hit me up with your Columbia dinner restaurant recommendations. Ooh. Maybe I can go sing Home a Ham with Hootie if I can find him.
Saturday morning hangover at Groucho's. Get the STP sauce.
You told me about that. I'll do that. I need to write that down.
I wish I had some right now. It's delicious.
Night kickoff too.
Yeah.
The game's been a night kickoff every year
for a decade. Yeah. Hey, that is Saturday night SEC Network special. They love it. Can't get enough of it. And we're glad you can't get enough of 11 personnel. Download Prize Picks. Use the code personnel. We'd greatly appreciate it. It's one way you can help us. You can also help us by subscribing, leaving a review. We enjoy reading those. You always get a good kick out of those. So for Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Rausch. Go Cats and go Kroger.